This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor. On Easter, I welcome my colleague and friend of many years, Thaddeus McCotter of American Greatness, a recovering politician, writing about the pursuit of happiness. That phrase rings because it's in the Declaration of Independence and is part of the conversation the founders put together to take the risk of defying the British Empire and about a third or half of the population. The pursuit of happiness is why we're doing this, among other reasons. However, when we come to the 21st century, I learned from Thaddeus, the pursuit of happiness has turned into, well, can we call it a tool of the left? Thaddeus, a very good evening to you. The left and happiness, what is that relationship and how is it used to attain power? Good evening to you.
Happy Easter to you, John. No, the left, if you think about it, is only, as my father used to say, they're only happy when they're miserable. So they're not doing anything with the pursuit of happiness. What they're trying to do is impose their view of life upon you and then determining for you what your pursuit of happiness will be. In short, it is the antithesis of why we have government. Government was established to provide the guidelines and the rules by which you can determine and pursue your own happiness. Instead, what the government is doing now in the woke hands of the Biden administration and the bureaucracy is they're going to determine what is happiness, and they're going to determine how you must live to attain what they believe to be happiness. Now, the great irony is that, as the French anarchist once revealed, this has nothing to do with happiness, John. The left wants an equality of misery, and they're hell-bent upon foisting it upon the rest of Americans. And to do so, again, they're inverting the very concept of the pursuit of happiness.
So what we're looking at here is a modern version of what in the 18th century was called leveling. The left is looking to level us to misery or it also wants power. How does that help the left attain power, lowering our expectations?
Well, what they do is it's trying to do a top-down revolution. Again, they're more like King George than they are anything else. So when you look at the left, what they're trying to do is they're trying to conflate liberation with subjugation. They're trying to claim that the more government does for you and the more dependent and paranoid you are, relating to government, the more free you will be. We know that's a lie. We know that's the big lie, and that's the one that the left continues to propound upon people. Again, that's why there is no pursuit of happiness. There's an attempt to foist upon everybody an equality of misery, because that's their end goal. And then at the final analysis, Americans should reject it, determine their own freedom, pursue their own happiness, and reject a government that clearly, as all the metrics show, no one is happy, and it's certainly not with a government that's trying to tell them what to do every single waking moment of the day.
Cancel culture. In your column, you identify this as the left's new invention in order to achieve its goals. How does it work, that is?
Well, what it does is if you don't pursue the happiness that they've set forward for you and you violate any of their rules that they've put forward, again, rules that you have not voted upon, by the way, you will be deprived of your livelihood, you will be deprived of your social standing, you will be deprived, you will short be canceled. And the media gendarmes are the shock troops of that cancel culture. So when you watch it, John, the government is determined you must do this to be happy, because if you're not, then no one can be happy, the collectivist mindset. And if you transgress any of the ways in which they've set forward for you to pursue that happiness, you're going to be canceled and shoved aside. As Rousseau said, you'll be, quote, forced to be free, which means if you don't subscribe to their civil religion of misery, they will punish you all the way up to and including your termination.
The incident at Stanford Law School over these last weeks is getting a great deal of attention, so much so that there's a lengthy feature in the New York Times summarizing the story so far from the point of view of everybody. Lots of quotes. The observation here is that the incident stemmed from a federal judge being invited by the Federalist Societies to speak to the students of Stanford Law School. These are grown-ups. These are not undergraduates. These are sophisticated young people of the world.
These are law students that should know better, but don't care because they've had academic instruction that tells them that their ideology allows them to do whatever they want. And that's what we're looking at. And these people are going to enter the legal profession. And does that mean that they're going to take that attitude, that ideology with them, that whatever they want to do is justified so long as they can ascribe an ad hominem attack to somebody? I think that these idiots should be put before the school disciplinary board and looked at, because you have stifled the opportunity for other students to hear a point of view. You have your right to put your point of view forward. Everyone else should have that right. It's called the First Amendment. And if they don't understand the First Amendment, one must wonder what type of lawyers these are going to be.
Yes.
Are they going to be Vivashinsky? Are they going to lead show trials down the road? Is that what types of lawyers they want to be?
The puzzle is using cancel culture to what? To make people miserable? Is that why they're doing it?
It makes them miserable, John. It enforces what the left wants. And in the final analysis, basically, the left has no good arguments for anything they do. That's why they have to resort to the ad hominem attacks and the cancel culture. A healthy society, a healthy ideology welcomes debate because it can prove its point in the court of public opinion. The left cannot do that. Their policies invariably fail. So that's what they're left with, is violence and the threat of violence. Ask their friends at Antifa how that's going.
And the achievement of power, once it's achieved, does that make the left confident that they can retain power, or must they continue to use weapons such as cancel culture?
Every tyrant is afraid they're going to be deposed because they've used ruthless means to get there, and they're afraid of ruthless means being used to throw them out. The left is akin to ascribing their sins to their victims. I've seen nothing new with cancel culture. I've seen nothing new with their totalitarian actions on campus or anywhere else. They cannot defend their rancid ideology and their policy failures. So they resort to ad hominem attacks and claim that if you argue with them or you dissent, you're dangerous and you're extreme. Again, projecting their sins upon their victims.
And in measuring now here in the second half of Biden's administration, where all of this has flowered, it existed during the Trump administration, but never so clearly in public. How's it doing, that is? What's your measure? Is it winning?
No, and we saw Barack Obama start talking about woke cancel culture as if somehow this was new to him and he had no part in foisting it upon America, acting as if, well, not everybody wants to get yelled at all the time. Look, Barky, we understand your game. We know what you're all about. In the final analysis, the left is responsible for the cancel culture that is roiling America, that is making people miserable. And I, for one, and so many others, refuse to be miserable, especially on Easter, a time of hope and real, true promise.
That is McCotter, writing an American greatness about the pursuit of happiness, which is a good thing, and how that happiness word has been turned into part of a conversation that is now decidedly lopsided, if I read correctly. Good heavens, the First Amendment, it's not at risk anymore. It apparently doesn't exist in ordinary places. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.